Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Raw Review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hanflow and Michael Sidgwick, here to review everything that happened on last night's episode of Monday Now Raw. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review Raw, but also SmackDown, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a Money Good Quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Hamflet and Cedric to review everything that happened on Monday Night Raw and discuss the
egg.
So, what did you make of last night's show?
Bad. Rubbish. It's Monday Night Raw. They killed the town back when we were all in the building for it in 2019. They're never getting it back, as evidenced by the Survivor Series. And this was not such an irredeemable trash fire or anything, but the standards for Monday Night Raw on a weekly basis are so terrible that there was so little in this review that you feel like you want to praise. It's not coming off the back of a hot pay-per-view. The only saving grace was the egg. This was a $100 million egg hunt masquerading as a three-hour wrestling TV show. They are paid millions and millions for this, and it was an egg.
I have to echo those thoughts completely. So much of this Raw was just bad, terrible, for all the reasons it usually is, and yet those absolute bastards got me with, well, who stole the...
I quite liked it.
Yeah, of course.
Egg-based stuff. I was like,
egg stuff.
I'm looking forward to Raw, and I enjoyed it. And lots of stuff happened. And it was one of those ones where we always say this, Sidge. I'd rather it be a bad Raw, because it's always bad. So I'd rather it be a bad Raw with stuff than just really bland. And lots of stuff happened, so I quite enjoyed it more than I usually would.
I don't want to ruin the vibe, but there's a portion of this show where I've got some wrestling analysis. I realised this morning. I was watching it. I was like, I want to talk about that in the way that you analyse good and bad wrestling, in the way that we might talk about it. I won't tell you when it's coming, but I'll let you know when we arrive there. In the same way that we might actually earnestly be critical of, say, something on an AEW show, I was able to apply that to WWE. I didn't think this allowed it in them. It was terrible, but it actually made me think about it in the form of a wrestling analyst rather than just somebody deadened to the content that they produce.
I look forward to this. I also look forward to the podcast on the whole. I'll level with you. I'm not feeling my best. I've taken a Rona test before I met up with you in the office, so I've done the responsible thing, passed negative, obviously I'm still here.
That'll be a hell of a twist. I've taken a Rona test, I've got it. Cough down the microphone.
We'll get the next few weeks off, rah. And I was thinking, when I woke up, you know when you wake up and you think, oh, I feel like shit here. And I was like, kind of like, just a bit sweaty, like, you know, you get a dehydration headache, mm-hmm. where it feels like it's squeezing down. But then you get up, move about a bit, and you think, oh, I can probably come in. If this was like last week's Raw, I would have probably just went, you know what? Nothing's worth it.
Mm.
But there was just enough to bury where I thought, I'm going to come in today.
I'm a soldier in.
I've got some duties.
So the show opened with Vince McMahon tapping his fingers on a desk sat across from Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce, the empty
egg
box there. I mean, I've got it now, so I might as well use it. And then
that's what WWE said about when they were given the prop. We'll get 2 days out of this.
What do you mean The Rock's not coming in November for Survivor Series? It's like September. We've got 2 months. We could plan something different. Yeah, but we've bought the
egg
now, so...
Just to get this out of the way, by the way, because it's not related to anything on this show. It's a bit of Vince. It's a lot of egg. I think this is going to draw. Like, I think they... That was surely the only conversation coming up for Sunday.
Yeah.
And they never have... Nothing out of that Survivor Series card was going to drag people to watch Monday Night Raw. And then a hunt for an egg was such a talking point. On a ludicrous level... That, like, they are taking advantage of people's disinterest, their emotional disinterest in this show, that they would rather tune in to see who finds an egg versus who's going to fight for a title. If you'd have said...
The winner tomorrow, is the king.
The winner is the king. Like, if you'd have said tomorrow on Monday Night Raw, a guaranteed WWE title match in the main event that somebody has earned through reasons that we're not going to talk about, but they are going to happen, like, I'd shrug. Like, nobody would care about that. If it's like... Somebody's going to find the fucking egg. I think this is going to do a number. It's not going to mean anything.
1.9 overall, I reckon.
Yeah, there's no traction. There's no long-term future off the back of it, but I just think this role will do well.
I also really liked watching the video package they immediately aired and going, that didn't happen at Survivor Series. They've retaken that because Vince McMahon couldn't remember his lines.
Oh, got so the Roman Reigns thing, yeah.
They just reshot it with him saying, I'm looking for the
egg
or whatever it may be. And they went, yeah, that was good. Maybe remember it next time, Vince. Who are you? Oh, sorry, Vince. I forgot. Yeah, you completely. Anyway.
He blatantly had his lines on like a notes file and then he closed the notes up and he couldn't get it back over.
Like when I was doing the news. Yeah, great point there, Andy. I'd love to get to the next Twitter question. What's my passcode again? I can't remember. So anyway, McMahon's not happy that Sonya Deville and Postman Pierce haven't got an update. They haven't found the culprits who stole the egg. He was furious that someone would steal from him. And they said that Sonya said that they interviewed every wrestler, but they got no leads. Even the authorities couldn't find anything.
Egg.
Sorry, I just wanted to press it. Did you?
They? It's like an egg. It's like
an egg. And yeah, McMahon in a lovely, lovely touch. This very considerate of what's happened in recent weeks, months, and well, the entire year. Said, well, if you don't find anything by the end of tonight, you're fired as well. Great, more releases. Want more budget cuts, probably. Deville said, we have got security footage, but it is a bit blurry. All it's shown is a bare chest and bare legs.
And then they said...
It could be a woman.
You know, like Vince is...
that's a really good Vince.
Could be a woman.
My molasses flooding out the mouth.
The problem with Vince McMahon on television these days is I can't understand a word he said. Can you?
No.
I have to rewind it all the time. It's like, it's already 3 hours long.
Kevin Owens headbutted the vocabulary out of his brain. It's never been there ever since. Like that blood that leaked, Shibata-esque from Vince McMahon. Just all went.
Can't do it. he finished up.
What a little brain! 18 months of a pandemic for that.
He said if whoever found the
egg
or found the person who took the
egg
would get a title shot by the end of the night against Big E. Yep. Okay. Right, we moved on from that to Kevin Patrick. He's backstage with Randy Orton, who's just fuming. He's like, all right, Randy, I thought your tag team partner would be here considering he's the one in action. Orton's fuming. He says, I don't know where he is. He'd get lost his own house, the bloody idiot. And then Riddle showed up. Cosplaying as Randy Orton, fake goatee. He was dressed like him. He sort of slicked his hair back and he said, I've been doing Viper stuff and now I've got voices in my head. Let's kick Dolph Ziggler's ass. And Orton wasn't happy and he walked out to make the entrance with sort of Orton fuming behind him. He was also wearing Orton's black trunks and black tape on his feet.
Cheer up, Randy, miserable bastard. You're about to break another record tonight that nobody really cares about but you and your colleagues like Kane and John Cena. Like, just have a... I was going to say have a day off, but then if you'd have done that, we wouldn't have had these fucking records. Yeah. Rugby, so you can't do that.
Did you like the cosplay? I tickled me a little bit.
I mean, I did, because it gets us one bit closer, especially because of what we got later on. This is so difficult. I like this RK-Bro stuff all over again. I went off the comedic mismatch bit pretty quickly. And they have stumbled upon, actually, the money here is in Orton finally accepting him. Because you build something with a bit of heart, and then when you break that heart, you've got a story that people are going to be really invested in. But this is one step closer to Orton wearing Riddle's gear, which is the stuff we really want, isn't it? Like the bro shorts and no boots, and him being like, oh, Christ, fine. I'll do it. You know, I've broken record. I've got nothing else left to do. Maybe after thousands of matches, I can have one people remember because I wore different trunks.
Can I tie all the points together in the course of the match, etc.?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't really a match. It was Dolph Ziggler's heat sequence is he removes fake facial hair from Riddle's face. Then a comeback happens and Riddle gets a win for once. That's the match. You don't have to recap it.
Yeah, that's literally... I mean, he hit maybe some Orton moves in there.
This, yeah. So the idea is he's
round. To set up the big flip at the end, wasn't it?
Like yeah. The nicest thing I could possibly say about this is this segment was just a standalone bit of fun. Your mileage will vary on how amusing it was. It was ridiculous, but on purpose. The idea is that they are going to break up at some point, but you badly needed something like this to make it seem all the crueler and all the more heartbreaking when Orton eventually does snap and can no longer sanction his buffoonery, to quote Tommy Lee Jones.
Riddle hit an RKO for the victory.
Shut up, man.
Riddle hit an RKO for...
for Randy's.
for the victory, and Orton actually suddenly decided he loved this and hit Bobby Roode with a Bro Derek post-match to sort of... I do hope we get Orton as Riddle next week.
We might not get that, but I think we should. I think Orton has done worse things in his long career to give across the image of strengthening a bond than this. Like I say, I wish it was different people that I actually liked instead of these two dickheads, because I think they've earnestly done decent work with this angle. It is going to matter a lot when these two split up. It does increasingly feel like this is going to be Riddle's WrestleMania thing, which you would assume he would win, which you would assume that they would, if they're in that... That's where they genuinely try and sell you that Monday Night Raw is episode one of the new season. It's going to be his year. Like, it seems hard to see it any other way.
Yeah.
I know they, need all the matches they can get. And it's a very WWE thing to just put the title on Orton. But, like, world champion Randy Orton versus Riddle is genuinely an actual WrestleMania headliner match that I can see them doing. Because at the minute, they've got zero.
It's very, I know your mileage varied on it because of comedic reasons, but it's very much looking back at Owens and Jericho and being like, that actually matters at WrestleMania with the belt.
Yeah.
If you put it the US title on the line, it's meaningless, and it was. But with the Universal title, that would have, it would have deserved the stage that it got from the likes of the Festival of Friendship. You're absolutely in that postcode, I think, with RK-Bro now.
We go backstage and all of the wrestlers are just tearing apart backstage, catering, popcorns flying everywhere. Rhea Ripley's ripping stuff open. R-Truth thinks he's found the
egg,
but he's actually found
these nuts.
No, he's actually found a football, which I thought we were getting dangerously close to your prediction on the Raw preview yesterday, which was R-Truth took the egg because he thought it was a chocolate egg.
And he thought it was Easter, but it's actually Thanksgiving.
Then we got what WWE described as a victory lap for big time Bex.
Can we, just labour on the idea that the entire locker room are complete arseholes and idiots, jokes, and I will take nobody seriously as a star who was in that room for at least the next 4 months.
Tearing up a building to get a golden ticket title shot. Yeah. Just wrecking a backstage area like complete cretins.
Imagine this exact scene, but with like, I don't know, top of my head, Darby Allin, MJF, Serena Deeb, like... Imagine.
The victory lap for Big Time Bex was just a promo. She talked about all the great memories she'd had in Brooklyn. Talked about her fight with Charlotte Flair at Survivor Series. She wanted to hurt Charlotte. Charlotte wanted to do the same to her. And the fans, they loved every second of it. Not because they cared who won, but because they wanted to see someone get hurt. And she mocked the fans who just wanted to see something new. She said it was time to move on. She said, who do you want to see next? Maybe Rhea Ripley, maybe Bianca Belair back in the title shot area. Maybe the new number one contender, Liv Morgan. Well, I used to care about your opinions, but not anymore. And you watched 10 women beat the crap out of each other last night and all you could care about was your bloody chance. None of the women that she'd mentioned had what it takes to beat her, least of all Liv Morgan. They like her because she's the underdog, but not every underdog has its day. She's got the title in her death grip and nobody was taking it from her. Becky Lynch, speaking the truth here, Sige.
Can I have this one?
Yeah, of course, please. Right? I don't really have any thoughts on anything.
Well, this is where some analysis is, so it's coming in hot, it's coming in early, and then I've got no else for the rest of the podcast. Do not confuse, I don't know who I'm speaking to particularly here, but do not confuse great delivery with great content. Really, really miserable promo, this. I lot wrong with it, and I want to feed into what happens next on the show as well. Becky Lynch being forced again to do an each and every one of you plot twist because she's getting cheered. Like, they are now acknowledging that she is getting cheered when she comes out. They expected it off the back of the Charlotte Flair match, and yet they insist on swimming against the tide with it, as we've seen countless times when they just want to do what they want to do. You could just give up. You could just think, should we abandon this objectively pretty bad thing that has buried at least one other babyface and just get back to our top star being somebody that is beloved and let her be beloved? But no, they persist nonetheless. Gaslighting the audience, as usual. There's such a gross loathing towards the paying customers, literally in this case, because she's having a go at the crowd that elected to do the wave in the middle of an extremely boring match last night at the Survivor Series. And remember that the one point in that match where they weren't doing the wave or they weren't bored by it was when it was good. Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair's interaction stopped the fans in their tracks and they actually enjoyed it for a second. Never blame the fans for getting bored with what they've paid to come and see be good. So they're using that as the device because they had nothing else. You could feel that there was no other reason that Becky Lynch could turn on the crowd without leaning on that. And then she is presented as the hypocrite because she says, and these 10 women were busting their ass and all you fans, all you people, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, nobody's on my level. Everybody sucks. So were they busting their ass or were they on, like, were they genuinely great or were they completely rubbish and below you? And that's all a spin at the Liv Morgan thing. And one last thing, and I know it's going to jump ahead slightly. In the next segment, and this is analysis that we would use for Dynamite or other good wrestling shows where you try and look at it and think, well, you've gone wrong there. This is just poor booking. Bianca Belair comes out and says, thanks, Brooklyn, for getting me over the line last night in that Survivor Series match. Like the last promo, somebody just said, you're shit on the match. And then they send Bianca Belair out there to say, you know that thing you just heard in the last segment? Ignore all that. Because I thought you were really great. Which one is it? Which, like, lousy, lousy, lousy. And I'm not, like, this is the thing. Do we get away with this? Because we spend 50 to 52 weeks a year, because occasionally there's a good Raw, saying this company can't do anything right anymore. So the standards become so low that you stop analysing it. But if you wanted to, and if there are people that listen and would wish that we would be more positive or try and be constructive. So here's some constructive criticism. Don't book two segments back to back that completely contradict each
other. Yes.
Like, if again, that's constructive on a good show. This is immune to constructive criticism, and this should prove it. But terrible, absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I hated this as well for pretty much identical reasons. It's just it's so symptomatic of WWE's arrogant, isolationist bollocks. If I was sat in the Barclays crowd, I would not be up for that Women's Survivor Series match. In fact, you'd have to pay me to go into the building. But say I was paid by my work to go into the building and review the show, I wouldn't be up for that match because they've done such a piss-poor job of building that division. I wouldn't necessarily, or in fact, I just wouldn't be, like, really obnoxious about it. I wouldn't do Mexican Waves or...
CM Punk was an odd chant. He's, like, on the other channel now.
Yeah, he's back. I just wouldn't be an arsehole about it. But at the same time, I would have to get sort of unglued by the work. I wouldn't be like, great, I can't wait to see the conclusion of this. Their booking sucks. They received the reaction that their ridiculously bad booking deserves, and then they told the audience off for it. Like, pricks.
Bianca Belair came out and she talked about her victory and said thanks to the Brooklyn crowd for helping her fight on. She said she showed why she was the EST. She was the sole survivor, crowd chants EST. She thought that maybe as a result of this now, maybe you can stop being so bitter. And she was going to show Tamina why she was the EST. Out came Tamina with Natalya. Why? Aren't they on different shows now?
The egg brought people back together. We should be grateful to the egg.
And regardless. So Tamina, you know, uses her strength to throw Belair into the corner, but Belair does the old ass slap in the corner and flips over Tamina. Eventually, after a bit of offense from Tamina, Belair dodges a charge. KOD, 1, 2, 3. Natalya attacks Bianca Belair after the match. Goes to the sharpshooter. Can't put it on. Rare, that for Natalya.
Oh, God.
Belair fights her off, basically, and then she gets jumped by a leather jacket wearing who hits her with a crossbody, and now a new team's formed, I think, because Doudrop left in the arms of Natalya and Tamina.
Jesus Christ, when Tamina came out, it's just like, but you left. Last week, you did this. No one ever wanted to see this again, and yet we got it. The match wasn't as bad. I think it was because it was shorter. Mm. I just love the story of the matches, right? Tamina's, she's rubbish, right? But she's, yeah, kind of strong.
Yeah.
But Bianca's good and strong, so she just wins. I love the story of these matches. Great, very succinct and very believable as well.
Sub 4 minutes, that match.
Yeah, so on the NXT 2.0 curve, a success. very little to add on the match. Dewdrop's pretty good, and they've called her Dewdrop and allowed you to forget, but that was a decent beatdown. There will be a very, very decent match that should be way, way better than decent at the end of this. And not only will there be one, there will be 10. We'll be bored of the decent match by the third or fourth go.
What's the name of the stable?
Ooh.
Dungeon Death Drop? Think about it.
Good.
So next
I'm neither topping nor touching that.
We were supposed to have a Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor match. What actually happened is Seth Rollins came out, bragged about being the sole survivor again for Team Raw. He said he could do it all on his own. He said he went through everyone who got eliminated. Kevin Owens showed his true colours. Bobby Lashley got himself counted out. Austin Theory was good, just not good enough. And Finn Balor got bro-kicked and pinned, and he was going to teach Finn Balor a lesson tonight before he can finish off with his, I don't know, one of his arrogant catchphrases. Finn Balor's music hits. He makes his entrance, and Rollins snaps and attacks him during the entrance. Balor fights back, takes Rollins out with a dive, but then as Balor tries again, Rollins catches him, throws him into the barricade, chucks him over the announce table, twats him with the steel steps, hits his stomp in the ring, and then as the officials check on him again, a second stomp from Rollins, who swaggers his way to the back, and then something we do need to talk about. I don't want to focus on it too much, Sige, but he got attacked by a fan. Now, thankfully, you know, quickly referee security separated this, and he's going to be charged and what have you. It's a dumb thing to do. Your thoughts on the segment first, Sige, and then this idiot that jumped him.
Well, I was prepared to bury once again the rubbish takes. I'm sick of dunking on takes, but you know. Some of them are so bad that you have to do it. I was very prepared to say that. Oh, great job they did of bloody protecting Finn Balor at Extreme Rules. Look what's happened to his career. But they did a better job of protecting Finn Balor than did Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Look, it shouldn't have got that far. Everyone has an off night or a bad day at work, so let's not jump down anyone's throats. But quite fitting that on a night built around an egg, a guy shaped like one was the guy who did the attack. Just couldn't be a 7 footer on this night, could it? Did they do a good enough job of kicking him in? You have to be a little bit sensitive.
I'm full. I said this on the news. I'm Team Lance Storm on this. They needed to. The footage I saw, I was like, "Well, kick him a few more times."
You have to be a little bit sensitive because, like, you know what I don't like. I think it's because it's like Clint Eastwood stuff, and every time I think about Clint Eastwood, I think about the take, the whole vigilante justice thing. Like in the moment, protect the person who's been victim to an assault. Mm-hmm. Maybe don't go in 2 footed because you don't know if this person has can't read social cues or whatever.
Yeah.
Determine that afterwards and then kick him in. But if you're a fan, don't do this.
Yeah.
It's very, very simple. Like, do not ruin the show for people. Do not endanger people. Just don't be an arsehole.
Yeah, can't really add to that. This is live theatre. You wouldn't rush the stage at the theatre. You shouldn't rush it at a wrestling show just because there's simulated combat. I'm not digging out one particular area, but Brett got in the same building. Enzo appeared in the same building with his protest that time. Like, a bit weird, isn't it? Like, there's been a bit of this lately. Like, I know that, and I'm not like. What I thought when
sleeping
happened.
On the jab, eh? down in Brooklyn, sleeping on the jab.
Yeah. Paid off. I don't know. I don't like this because it's really not that long from people not being allowed in buildings or people being suppressed behind perspex or whatever. And you don't need any excuse to return to any of that.
God, no.
Just a terrible scene.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right, let's move on. We went backstage and they're doing the 24/7 title chase effectively, but around the
egg
because people are just running about. And then Sami Zayn pops into Vince's office and says he's heard about the fact that if you got information leading to the egg, then you might well get a title shot. And he says, I'm 95% sure I think I know who took the egg. Vince is a bit skeptical, but says, hey, bring it to me and then we'll talk. And then Sarah Schreiber was backstage with Kevin Owens, who's very casually looking for the egg, and says, oh, what do you make of what Seth Rollins had to say? And Owens says, oh, I wasn't listening. And says, I'm looking for the egg, but I'm not bothered. I'm more interested to see who gets a title shot later.
Seth Rollins, by the way, now that we can go back to just talking about his character, banging on about teaching everybody a lesson. He was a sole survivor. Is he not being taught a lesson by everybody else? So he was the sole survivor in that Survivor Series match. What did he get for that? Jack. Kevin Owens walks out, probably likely to get the next title shot.
Or at least a triple threat.
Or very least a triple threat. And who else has jumped in there? Seth Rollins. Anybody that finds an egg. What was the point of being the sole survivor in a 30-minute match? He's the biggest loser of the lot.
There was somehow less point during and after it than it was before. Because it's all about the goddamn
egg.
Right, that was followed by the Street Profits versus AJ Styles and Omos.
Skip.
Thank goodness. It went to a DQ. Sprayed it. There was something in a bag, and he sprayed him fire extinguisher. The story. He also sprayed Styles as he went for the phenomenal forearm.
I never talk about the matches, so this just adds time to my day.
Anyway, enough for that. Now time for this. It's short, it's crap, it's wrestling related. The 5-star review review. Nailed it!
Egg.
And this week's 5-star review is brought to you by Cody. It was with a question mark on iTunes. So if you want your name associated with the 5-star review, if you want to suggest something short, crap, and wrestling related, subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review just like Cody did.
He's so unfocused in 2021 that he stopped thinking about his matches and leaving feedback on podcasts instead.
Yeah, Cody writes, hello guys, I've been listening to you for nearly 3 years now on Spotify, but finally decided to leave you a 5-star review. Can't remember if this one's been done. We double-checked with Kid Icarus's spreadsheet, which needs a bit of updating.
Come on, stop slacking, huh?
That stuff that you just do out the goodness of your heart, come on.
But that time the authority...
Get with the goddamn programmer.
That time the authority made Big Show KO Daniel Bryan and he cried the entire time, during which the authority opened Raw every week for 1.5 years during an awful period. Keep up the great work. Cheers. Thank you, Cody, for that. Michael Hamflett, take us back to, what was it, 2013?
Yeah.
The authority are in control. What's going on?
Backstory here is I nearly stopped watching wrestling for the first time in 23 years.
Jesus.
Basically, this was, and watching this back today was a really harsh reminder of that as well. We've probably gone over it in various other forms, in various other podcasts. This was the attempted deconstruction, piece by piece, of the organic rise of Daniel Bryan. It wasn't we'll put him over at WrestleMania. It was never that, ever. Until about a month before WrestleMania.
Yeah, this
itself.
Is about, what, September?
Yeah, this was absolutely the best you were going to get was Daniel Bryan beating John Cena briefly so that we could transition the title onto Randy Orton and think about somebody else instead. Week after week after painful week, they were trying to break Daniel Bryan's spirit on camera as an avatar for breaking ours as fans. You've cheered for the wrong guy. You have put your muscle behind the wrong performer. So we're going to try and transition that into somebody else instead. Big Show, we're going to talk about here. I don't even think he was the first, because I'm sure they tried to get it back onto John Cena, even in SummerSlam defeat when he was going out injured. And they brought him back for Alberto Del Rio. I can't remember. The timelines get mixed up, but they brought him back. And Big Show wouldn't be the last of the baby faces they would try and have as a Daniel Bryan replacement. But yeah, it was Daniel Bryan, and they didn't like it. And this was the story of those 6 to 8 months.
You went to WrestleMania 30 because you wanted to see Bryan. What was your memory of watching it back then?
I hated it back then. I just wanted to kind of see it through.
Mm.
In a weird way, it was the last shred of my earnest love of this company. Like, I needed to kind of see it through. Bit of a loophole with the old, let's have kids early. It's like, okay, well, I'll do this. I kind of needed to see it through on a weird personal level. Because it's like, he deserves this. He absolutely deserves this. So I'm going to try and go there and voice my support in him while he does this. Absolutely terrible television. Absolutely terrible television. My prevailing memory was just feeling, it was just so oppressive. Overwhelming heat. Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, just the worst heels imaginable. The worst heels I've ever watched. I think I might even hate this more than the Reign of Terror.
Wow.
It was...
And Cody's right about the promos to start the show every week.
Relentless. Absolutely relentless. There's about a good 3 years where Stephanie McMahon turned up, called everyone faces and heels alike a useless twat for 3 years, and they passed it off as a 3-hour television wrestling program. My goodness. It was staggeringly antagonistic, even by their standards. It was so... The actual experience of watching it was so draining and tedious and arrogant that I couldn't even enjoy the idea that they were making themselves the heel, none of it was actually working. I couldn't even enjoy it on those terms.
WWE are so lucky. Timing so often has been so crucial to WWE's success in ways that they will never tell you on network documentaries and celebratory, masturbatory profile pieces on Vince McMahon's successes. And in Triple H's case here, Sidgwick went to that WrestleMania, but there would have otherwise been such, and I'm speaking as a lifer, as one of these doomed hardcores that otherwise I would mock. I know who I am. That WrestleMania took place within a week, 2 weeks of arrival on the WWE Network, and our own Pac, Neville as he was then, becoming NXT champion and drawing everybody's eyes, Paige versus Emma, other things like Sami Zayn and Cesaro, drawing your eyes over at something like, I like the look of that. Sidgwick went to New Japan. I'd tried and failed with TNA too many times that was dead. And WWE got so lucky because Daniel Bryan winning that title, even then you knew it was like, well, I've got to enjoy this because it's not going to take. They'll have him feud with Kane, first feud. Like the NXT, like, just appeared as if from nowhere as this perfectly polished version of the thing you actually wanted that could draw you away from the wretched main roster.
So this was the main event of Monday Night Raw. Why was it babyface versus babyface? They just forced Big Show into a match, basically.
This was right around the start of the Big Show is broke. His job's on the line. They were using him. This was one of the many, many times they would force the roster onto the ramp to be a part of something, which is like ugly and cynical in and of itself, because we've heard the stories before about wrestlers that are desperate to get away. One of the few benefits of going on early or not being a profiled figure is that you can get out the building and avoid like the fans that are waiting for you in the car park, or you can get onto the next town, as we've seen on Ride Along, because the schedule never fucking ends. Like, and yet, knowing you're going to stay to the main event in your gear, and you're going to stand on the ramp and watch. And you
heart like the sea for Triple H, or specifically Stephanie, or whatever.
There's so much minging. Just
death of auras by a thousand cuts. Whenever I see someone step aside for them, I just think, well, you're not a star. You're not a star. And this has taken a second for me to arrive at that conclusion.
Yeah, just miserable stuff.
So we're mid-match in the clip that we watched, the WWE version of this, because I wasn't watching the whole bloody thing.
The video itself was like the heat segment at the end was a good like 6 minutes. It was cut.
Yeah, this was
like edited. This was longer playing live.
So Big Show hits a splash in the corner, comes off the ropes, but as he comes back, Bryan drop kicks him on the knee, does the kicks, but as he goes to the final one, Big Show catches it and grabs him by the throat, but suddenly Brian reverses by kicking him in the knee. DDT, 1-2, and the old big man kicking out of a little man. So the little man goes flying. So Brian goes up top, comes off it. And Big Show just spears the crap out of him. And we cut to a replay sponsored by O'Reilly's Auto Parts. Then Brian is told by Big Show that he's crossed the line. And Big Show powers up that KO punch of his. Decides against it. Leaves. But as he's on the apron, Triple H's music hits. Out come the Shield as well, who were in the pay of the Authority, of course, back then. And he comes down, he says, Big Show, get back in that ring and finish it. And Show says, no. And he gets in Triple H's face and walks off. And so the Shield just come in and kick the crap out of Daniel Bryan as well. And Triple H gets on the mic because Big Show comes back in to sort of make the save. Triple H says, don't make me do this. Think about your family. Do what's right for you. Big Show, back up. Step back. Hey, Paul. You don't want to do this. You know I don't want to do this. And they do the triple powerbomb to Brian. And Big Show's crying again.
He's effing Paul. He'll effing Bob.
He says...
Randy Orton versus Batista.
I've told the story in the podcast before. My brother-in-law, as he was soon to be brother-in-law, wanting to do a nice thing and impress me. And said, you like wrestling? I'll go to a wrestling show. So we went to a house show in Birmingham in England, which is where he lives, and I was happy to go down for it. And it was supposed to be Brian versus Orton in the main event, and they'd switched Brian to the Raw side to tag with CM Punk. So Big Show's like, I've been on the phone to Daniel Bryan, and he told me to come to Birmingham, England, and beat up Randy Orton. Awful, man.
So Trips, as Big Show's looking away in the corner, crying his eyes out, says, turn around and look at me. Turn around.
I can't even listen to this, man.
Let me tell you what you're going to do now. You're going to ball up that big fist right there. You're going to ball it up real tight. You're going to shine it up. No, and you're going to do what I tell you for your family. Show, ball it up real tight. And knock Daniel Bryan out. And Show teases it. Show teases it. The crowd goes, no, no, no. He says, no. And he leaves through tears and gets a great reaction from the crowd. Nice, a bit of an ovation. And he says, leave me alone. As he walks away, and then we hear, style and grace are never going to be done, Leonin. And welcome to the queen. Now I'm queen. Now I'm going to king bow down. And literally, Sid watched this in the office. And I thought it was a conversation we were having, but Sid has the headphones in. And all I hear him is go, oh, this woman's ear sort of thing.
I said something much worse. Yeah,
I'm trying to edit it and panicked. The video cut at this point.
Don't make us look like a bloody default misogynist.
Well, the video cuts here, but I assume Stephanie McMahon was a bloody nightmare and then got Big Show to get back in the ring. And
it's worse than the really worst swear word I said.
He's back in the ring and he's got that fist, big fist, balled up. And then he suddenly teases as if he's going to KO Triple H. But he steps in the way, Michael Sidgwick. It's Stephanie McMahon because...
Yeah, you're not going to punch her, she's too hard.
A great detail that isn't fleshed out in the commentary here is, what can you remember, Sidgwick, why Stephanie McMahon was the difference maker in this, other than because she was booked to be? Can you remember that there was a storyline detail that was hilarious?
I can't remember it.
About 2 weeks before this.
Well, was it like Big Show like as a favourite wrestler or best friend or something?
They just pretended Big Show was Andre the Giant. Stephanie McMahon came out and said, remember when I was a little girl and I would sit on your shoulder? Like they would, and you would be here on my arm. And I came up to your show and I was like, oh, you're so big. And they drew from that image.
She was concocting a date rape scheme with Triple H in the same year that Big Show debuted.
That's it. There's this picture. Like, you've seen the picture of, like, Andre, like, really tiny Stephanie. This cute little moment of the promoter's daughter with the giant, all that sort of thing. They basically planted Big Show's face on it. I was a little girl looking up to you. You were such a giant backstage. He smashed your dad's rival against a steel cage. You're in your 20s.
So anyway, she stands in the way. She stops Big Show. It cuts his balls off, otherwise. She tells him to do it for his family. And Sho turns to the ropes, has another bit of a cry. And then just turns around and just smashes the crap out of Daniel Bryan. KOs him in one punch. And Daniel Bryan collapses, of course. And so does Big Sho. He's bent over the ropes. He's bawling. And they tap him on the back as he's there going, me!
Deep down, Daniel, in my heart,
you did the right thing.
I've said this before about another, probably something else we reviewed in the 5-star review. Just because the Big Sho can cry on command, I do wish that they wouldn't make him. I wish that wrestling wouldn't make him do this.
Well, you need to see the comment section for people responding to this. Once again, these do not reflect the... So these the first few ones certainly do not reflect the views of myself, the Daddy Wars, or anyone at What Culture Wrestling.
1 minute.
Not for the reasons you might think.
Stephanie McMahon was 19 years old. Stephanie McMahon was 19 years old when a single person outside of Paul White, the Giant's network of friends, knew who he was through the television screen in 1995. She was 19 years old.
She's going, wait a minute, that guy I actually had a picture with, is that his son?
So these do not reflect the views of myself, the Daddy Boys, or anyone at What Culture Wrestling. Lot of comments like this from Brandon Sports World. Big Sho may be a huge guy, but his heart's even bigger.
I like you, Paul. You got heart.
So I did say a lot of those comments.
I don't like thinking about wrestlers' enlarged hearts.
I've grouped together a lot of those comments about, like, wow, what a nice guy Big Sho is. Everyone's just, oh, it makes me so emotional watching this. I've covered that, basically, because I wanted to move on to Yasha's comment, who writes, Big Sho falling is the funniest thing I've seen in a while. Cindy writes, oh, I love that Big Sho cares and doesn't punch Daniel. You haven't watched the clip, have you? You watch half of it and gone, well, guess he walks out.
That's a lot of people, like, with the remote since he's... It's boring. I'm good. Probably doesn't hit him. By the way...
Sorry, I've just read the next comment. You heard me laughing quite a lot in the office today, didn't you, when I was collating these?
Not being able to control yourself. It was that, like, you sound like... I was just going to say... Do you think he submitted this tape to Tony Khan? Because that bump he took off that little dropkick was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like,
oh, that bump is all elite.
A lot of comments praising Big Sho's acting. Like this one from Hayden Cooper, with a slight grammatical error, who writes, Pig Sho deserves an Oscar.
Oh, God. Come on.
You know, like, I can't pretend to be a film aficionado. I like telly, but I don't watch a lot of films. Wrestling fans ever watched a film? You know, when anybody in wrestling, like, I love wrestlers. I think they're amazing people, but very few of them
performers.
Very few of them claim to be awesome actors. And then sometimes you see the praise that some wrestling acting gets. Have you seen a film, son? Like, there's actual other ways in which to get you.
The Oscar nomination sucked. Then Big Sho cried and he didn't suck no more. By the way, R.I.P. to what's his name?
Give Alexa Bliss an Emmy.
Our guy, yeah, from Gary from Friends, whose real life name I forgot.
Rapaport.
That's it, Rapaport. He's Michael Rapaport.
He's not doing Ruthless Aggression too. What's all that about?
He's been replaced by Pat McAfee telling us the thoughts of the people in it. Vince McMahon was probably thinking, oh my God, my business is bleeding, my son-in-law sucks.
I hate that McAfee thing that he does. I've watched the latest Ruthless Aggression, but apparently all the talking heads are out of date. They've got, like, Adam Cole and Christian Cage.
Brilliant.
Former WWE superstar.
They've absolutely bought themselves a free pass with episode one because it's amazing. It's just like, people consider this widely discredited. Just do an episode on Hollywood Rock where we don't have to lie. Like, it's just everything's class. And you're like, oh, yeah, that was actually brilliant. Like, there was 2 months where I don't like the thing I like anymore, but thank Christ the Rock's on the show for
a bit. We were watching it before Survivor Series and we were like, oh, do you remember when he was in Sacramento? Cut to Sacramento. Brilliant.
You know, the Vladimir documentary, it's not going to put it out.
Why?
They finished it!
It's
in the can.
Like the Lex Luger icons thing as well. Just like stuff that's already made.
But the thing with Vladimir, it's like he's one of your biggest fans ever.
Yeah.
At a time now when people don't really like it that much and they're looking there, buried, criticizing the company more than ever. This is how they treat their fans. It's so cruel. Let's make a documentary about one of the biggest fans we've ever had.
It's the new Tom McGee tape.
Yeah.
This one... it's gibberish. It's from My Blessing, who writes, Daniel may never did that to Big Sho, as it's a game, okay, but in this math, Big Sho was nothing and nothing again.
I mean, it's
Excuse me?
I feel like I'm punching down if I have a
I've missed her name off, but I'll just tell you. A woman writes, what a big-hearted man. I've got lots of respect for the legend Big Show. And Genius Objective Text writes, in all caps, I want talk to you. And finally, I want to finish up with this comment from Gattery Sancho. Lots of emotional reactions to...
whenever he does the last comment, I mean, hopefully gives you the knowing look of, are we going to get sideways cancelled? Yeah.
Lots of Wilbon's doing the serious face.
Emotional stuff about, Big Show getting upset. Daniel Bryan, like you say, the whole thing that the authority and everything encompassed. And Gattori sums it up by writing, bet Steph got railed back in the day. Lucky dudes.
Lucky dudes. No. Railed.
So thanks.
Lucky dudes.
Thanks to Cody for suggesting that. You want to suggest something short, crap, and wrestling related? That was perfect, by the way.
Don't make us have an existential crisis on the review next time. My God, that bloody storyline.
Back to Money Now. And backstage.
I need a piss and my dinner.
Queens, we've got a long way to go yet, brother. Queen Zelina and Carmella are there, and they are heels spelling out their strategy for the upcoming women's tag team title match. They said, basically.
Scream a bit.
They said,
I'm going to win the bloody belt.
They said, God blimey, Gavner, Rhea Ripley's the bloody weakest link in this group, isn't she? So what we're going to do is we're going to isolate her, and then we're just going to beat Nikki A.S.H. Let's see what happened. Oh, they mentioned something about Royal
Step
Beauty.
Step in time, Carmella.
So, said something about Royal Beauty. It's some, regal bollocks anyway. Let's see what happened in the match. Ripley dominated. Carmella wore a big red Christmas mask. And eventually, Ripley gets hit with a tornado DDT, so she goes back to her corner to bring in her partner, who's supposedly the weakest link, Nikki A.S.H. Let's see how that plays out. Rhea Ripley chased after Carmella, got her head kicked into a steel post. Nikki got super kicked, hit with a code red, and the weakest link immediately got pinned, and the tag team titles changed hands.
Did they, before or at the start of this show, say, we've got a big title match later? Did they or not?
No.
It was just announced halfway through, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was... Times by the egg. Like,
how am I meant to care?
They were physically, mentally, and tactically unpicked by a better team for belts that are less meaningless than the one that changed hands later on. Like, we often joke a little bit, I'm on an error. She's in a better position than the women's tag team champions. She has a belt of more prestige. More people want it. More people aspire to win it.
Remember the summer of Nikki A.S.H.? That was the big thing that they came back to live crowds with. Yeah. Hey, it's a performer in a mask. It's like kids are like this.
That we nicked off Secret Life of Pets too. Yes. Wholesale.
And now, after, I think 63 days, something like that, they've dropped the titles. But let's just take a moment to think about the time they had with those titles.
Something else.
Sonya Deville.
Something else before Survivor Series. On the network, if you switched it on, if you still got the network and not Peacock, they put these little like 5-minute filler things in. And it was like, Rhea Ripley, top 5 stuff. Like, all of it was from 2019. It was like, like anyone that's tuned in 5 minutes before the show and she's going to be
a title.
She's going to be a profiled feature wrestler on this pay-per-view. Have we got anything that she's done good in the last year and a half? No, because she's been on our show. It was all NXT 29. I even had like something from NXT UK. And it was like, there's nothing that she's done in 2020 or 2021 that you would deem worthy of this top 5 list.
So Sonya and Postman Pierce say, we finally got the egg. We'll bring him in now. And it's Austin Theory. It's revealed to be Austin Theory who took the
egg.
He said, I just wanted to take a selfie with the egg. But there was so much bloody security. And next thing I knew, I was back at my hotel with the
egg.
So apologies. Here it is. Handed it back over. Sami Zayn's there as well. He's ecstatic because he's the one who sort of got to the bottom of this. So he thinks, cash back. I got the title shot coming. But Vince said he appreciated Austin Theory's brave decision to bring the
egg
back and said, you can have the title shot. I'm going to drop all the charges.
You remind me a little bit of my help.
Exactly. I think that's what he said. He agreed to have a selfie.
It was you, Austin. It was you all along.
And then,
why didn't they do that line?
Yeah, dumb. And Zayn said, "Well, what about me? I I did the one thing you explicitly said, if you do this, we'll get a title shot. And he said, shut up. No one likes a snitch. Thoughts?
No one likes a snitch.
I don't have any thoughts. About most things at this point in my life.
Like rubbish. Gone are the days.
At least it wasn't Hornswoggle.
Yeah. Like, gone are the days where somebody, like, say, wins. I say maybe not gone are the days, because, like, they haven't completely tired of Damian Priest, despite what the kickoff made it look like. But, you know, you see, like, a guy...
Not a heel anymore, though, is he?
No, not at all. You see a guy wrestle 5 or 6 matches, and you can just see the progression in the matches, and you can see them adding more to his repertoire, and then, sure enough, he gets a secondary title match, and then he wins that secondary title, and he holds it for 6 months, and he's potentially a Royal Rumble favourite, all that sort of stuff. Win an egg. Steal an egg. Reveal an egg. Give an egg back. That's it. That's the new way. Like, I remember Brett cutting those promos when he won the title. Like, 8.5 years, whatever it was. 8.5 years I've been here waiting for an opportunity. Should have taken an egg.
Right. And we got another title match after this. It was Reggie versus Cedric Alexander, who now wears a mouth guard, I assume. Something was going on there. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He hit the lumbar check. 1, 2, 3. Cedric Alexander is your new 24/7 champion. But as you know, Michael Sidgwick, after the championship match finishes, the 24/7 rules kick back in. So then it's permanently on the line. So everyone rushes down. Jinder, Viking Raiders, Otis, Chad Gable, I think T-Duba might have been there as well.
Sneaky bastards, by the way, because they've said yesterday, you know, because of the egg, that everybody is going to be on this Raw. Like, Raw and SmackDown. The one night a year where all Raw and SmackDown. And you know what they tease there, isn't it? Yeah, come on, Barclays, on, he might get Roman Reigns. No, they just sent 30 guys out for the 24/7 title. They've just got more bodies for this.
Well, anyway, before anyone could get there, in comes Dana Brooke. Hits a flying blockbuster on Cedric Alexander. 1, 2, 3. Dana Brooke is a champion on Monday Night Raw. And everyone's really happy for her. And also... won't attack her, basically.
This isn't cruel yet, but it's going to be pretty soon, I'm sure. Are they? It's the ribbon on the square, aren't they? Mm-hmm. I think it's a gigantic rib where, because the person, she works hard, she always thinks of herself as entitled or worthy of an opportunity. She's going to defend this title that no one can conceivably win from her, because the majority of the people in the 24/7 picture are men, and they're all going to have to go, yeah, very good, I can't win it now because I can't roll you up because, you know, we're not allowed to do that in this company. And she's going to spend the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, before they get bored, just walking around thinking, hey, I'm a real champion. Very cruel.
She did an interview with Sarah Schreiber talking about how proud she was and winning her first title and all that bollocks. Did Maria Kanellis win this, by the way?
Maria Kanellis, Kelly Kelly.
Yeah.
Alundra Blaze.
So let's put a bet on now, or let's do predictions, I should say, because it's the day of it. It's the day of the NXT 2.0 preview, and we love all these sorts of games. How does she lose the title? Because she's not losing in a match, is she? She's not getting hit with a bloody lumbar check or something.
In a fit of over-celebration in the weeks to come, she could just be like weeping. You know those shots where like they clutch the title to their chest, and they are like, but like they're lying on the floor and then it's weeping. And someone could just like put their finger on her shoulder or something.
R-Truth pins her in the middle of the Women's Royal Rumble because he went in the match by mistake.
Because he's crazy.
It wasn't even my match. It
wasn't even my Rumble.
I think they're just going to have one of Los Lotharios seduce her.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Anyway.
They're on SmackDown, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we've already had the one night.
I'm sorry, she's going to have to wait till next Survivor Series.
How foolish.
She's going to have a 365-day run as champion.
Or they could do the quarterly brand-to-brand invitation. I love this stupid...
I mean, she was practically calling out for Batista about a year ago. So, Batista bomb in the Hall of Fame. Batista bomb in the Hall of Fame.
Get your woman, pull her close, lift her up, Batista bomb. Dominic Mysterio was backstage, as we've called many a time, Michael Hamblett, apologising to his dad for not helping him last week.
Was it our brains or was it a plot that was sticking in Wilborn? I don't know.
He apologised for not attacking when Bobby Lashley put his own dad in the hurt lock.
Cedric, come back.
He said...
close the door.
He said, Ray said, I don't need to apologise, I don't need to fight my battles. All I want is a piggyback every now and again. That's all I want, really.
I think the listeners know what's coming, and we've already told them the date.
And
we can leave it there.
He said, I fought plenty of giants in my career, from Brock Lesnar to Batista to The Undertaker, and they're going to give Lashley a Mysterio whooping tonight. That's right, we got a handicap match with a man who me and Sig discussed yesterday potentially turning babyface because they played a three-minute video package, basically turning him face at Survivor Series. Instead, he's murdering a father and son combo.
They just...
at a disadvantage.
At a disadvantage. They don't... MVP's promo as well.
Oh, yeah,
They don't know how to do this entire thing without just needless cruelty. Like, they're teeing up the Mysterios to, like, talk up a match that they know they're going to book them to lose ahead of MVP being like, when Bobby's killed you, I'm going to shag your wife / mother.
Change your prediction. Changing my prediction. Dana Brooke can't get pinned. Dana Brooke can't get pinned by anyone, any men in the division, of course. Who's a woman they could bring in to beat her, though? Angie Mysterio. Dominic Mysterio picks her up. So happy for your mum. An electric chair to you as well. Both mum and dad on the shoulders. Down you go.
I'm desperate for this to happen.
So MVP, yeah, cuts this promo before the Bobby Lashley versus Rey and Dominic Mysterio match, saying, look, respect you as a competitor, but you leave a lot to be desired as a dad. He said, your ego's going to get your child hurt.
It's like this before, you just beat them clean as a sheet. You suck as a dad, you suck as a husband, you suck as a person, you're going to lose. Cut two, he's lost. Oh, MVP was 100% right about all of that.
He said, have you taken the time to teach Dominic the monsters are real? You're the one who's going to have to explain to your wife, Angie, that your child's injured because of your own arrogance, basically. When she's disgusted with you, hey, give me a call. Okay? I mean, to be fair, previously, didn't she just stand there and watch Rey Mysterio get hurt?
Do you remember when Eddie Guerrero said, that's not your son, that's my son? And then he said, where the fuck's Vicky? And then Vicky was there and Eddie won. And he was like, right, I'll take that kid. Thank you very much. And when that happened, exactly like that.
So, the match starts and Lashley's fighting both of them off. They're trying to do quick tags, jumping on his back and trying to subdue him, but he's dominating both of them, basically. As we come back from the break, Mysterios did have a brief advantage, helping out each other, quick tags and all that. But then Dominic went for the 619 and MVP tripped him up. So Lashley's in control. He's going to hit a Dominator on Dominic, but he escapes out of it. Thrust kick to Lashley. They double team him. Double 619, double frog splash. They even both try and pin him at the same time. But Lashley kicks out, suddenly just spears Ray out of his goddamn shoes, and as he promised, puts Dominic in the Hurt Lock to get the submission victory.
I'm sorry, I was watching this match, man, and I'm thinking, you little puke bastards, I hope you get your heads kicked in. I don't want to think about that, about Rey Mysterio.
Legend. Absolute icon of this game.
Absolute icon, absolute legend.
Cover star of the new 2K game, I assume.
Is he? Great.
I don't want to think this about Rey Mysterio, for Christ's sake. And I was watching this because of the way they booked two baby faces to have a match against one heel. And I was thinking, you cocks, I hope you get slaughtered. Because the whole logic and just the optics of watching two baby faces fight one man is so arse backwards that it created in me a total resentment. And it made me actually feel something. Like Dennis Reynolds, and it's always sunny in Philadelphia at this point. It's like, I'm actually feeling things.
The Sidgwick system. Yeah. How you watching a sort of Monday Night Raw?
So I'm actually feeling things like a little kid. And then Matt goes, yeah, I feel things like every day. He's like, yeah. I'm feeling things watching this, and they are furious feelings of please kill both of these dickheads.
I mean, I love two things about this. Obviously, the fraying of the relationship between father and son. And I never thought I would be able to liken Bobby Lashley to Adam Wilborn. But is there anybody in wrestling who enjoys beating up wrestlers' kids as much as Adam Wilborn, as Bobby Lashley, who actually gets to do it? Is this a gimmick that they don't know is a gimmick, that he takes down wrestlers' kids? Incredible.
Big E was backstage. He said, I've got no one to blame but myself for my loss last night. Apologised for letting people down. He said, tonight's a new night, though. Says Austin Theory's brash, but he is also talented. But he's going to retain the WWE Championship tonight, stay as WWE Champion, and he was going to feel pretty good. Curb your enthusiasm. Ironic for WWE to use that phrase. Hey, calm it down. Did you see,
by the way, the title of, like, the Jonathan Davenport, the New Day's gear designer, always puts the titles of the gear up. And we love the New Day. And Big E's, I did not write that, all that sort of stuff. Like, did you spot why last night might have been all the night? I know they're in New York, but the real reason why he might have gone with the Seinfeld gear, as I pitch it as an article in my brain, because what is Seinfeld? It's a show about nothing.
Yes.
What a night to debut at the Survivor Series. Show about nothing.
Love to know your thoughts on what came next. Liv Morgan's getting interviewed. She's happy about winning Survivor Series last night, despite the fact that obviously she didn't win for her team. Becky Lynch came in and said exactly that. You underdelivered, and it was Belair who won the match. I don't know what you're showing off for. She says, you will literally never hold this belt. And Morgan went, well, held it last week. Becky Lynch quite rightly zinged her back by saying, yeah, I'll let kids hold the belt when we do autograph signings. Doesn't mean they're the world champion. She said, what's wrong with you? You're gonna cry? You're going to cry? And it looked like for a split second she was going to cry. And then she just twatted Becky Lynch, who looked shocked at someone doing that who's the number one contender.
Scott Carlson dug this out on Twitter. And I have to agree with him. Why give her that line?
Too good. That line was way too good, wasn't it? Like, it's just destroyed her.
It's killed her. They probably thought, oh, that's a really great heel line. That one's thinking, yeah, it makes a baby face look like such a complete arsehole geek. I held it last week. So you're a belt mutant now. Credit Voices of Wrestling for that one. Like, she is toast.
Well, we've just had a segment where the baby faces were obliterated by the heel. So why should we have any faith in Liv Morgan's ability to do it? And less than ideal. Again, this is critical analysis. This is not just nitpicking. It wasn't particularly good. You do these close-up shots, and it's sort of got a knack, hasn't it? Like, you've got to believe that that really, really hurt. Slaps are pretty effective in that regard. Like, Stephanie McMahon, for all her faults, when she would hit those slaps, the whole point was, God, that actually looks like it really kills, and you're supposed to be furious with her as a heel. It didn't look mega impactful. Like, I don't know. I'm not a wrestler. Never done this. Never thought of work punch, but just maybe lay it in, because you're backstage, and it's got to look legit. Wasn't a good night for the Becky Lynch Liv Morgan feud at all. This, I don't have any faith in Liv Morgan getting it done. And if anything, the level of support that she's built up over the last couple of years, they probably should have waited until she had the momentum to beat her.
Mm.
I don't like, I'm advocating for Liv Morgan to win the Royal Rumble. I don't know, but push her to the point where she's actually going to do this, because Becky Lynch will win. And then what next to Liv Morgan? Nout. A month, a year of just scrambling around, hoping that she doesn't get fired when the next release has come around. And she's, people love her. People absolutely love her. So you've possibly blown that.
Damian Priest came out for his US title open challenge.
In the end.
He comes out for his open challenge. And I thought, it's going to be interesting. Now he's here, what they're going to do. And then he immediately got interrupted by Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz. Definitely heels. Commander Aziz gets on the mic and said we should all applaud our Nigerian hero, Apollo Crews. And Crews says,
Commander Aziz gets on the mic. There are just some sentences in these reviews that shouldn't be sentences.
And he says, what's all this about your split personality, Damien? You should be ashamed of who you are. I embrace my true self. That's why I'm going to decimate you. I'm more powerful than ever. I'm a Nigerian warrior, and I'm going to show the entire world that you're not fit to be champion. And Priest says, hey, don't you realize you're in New York? That means out here, if you want to run your mouth and tell the world how you two found each other, why don't you start a podcast or shut your mouth and fight? And Apollo Crews says, no. So Sami Zayn comes out and goes, oh, I'll take that if you're not going to do anything with it.
I wish you'd meant the podcast. I'd listen to Sami Zayn podcast for a couple of hours a week.
It wouldn't be the number one podcast, but, you know. And Sami Zayn said, well.
A poddle. You know,
this.
That's what you call it. Apollo's podcast.
Jesus Christ, are we near the end?
Sami Zayn said,
should have taken the deal.
When one door closes, another opens. So if Apollo doesn't want to take that challenge, he will instead. And then we got Damian Priest, hometown hero. He defies all logic in WWE. Bad booking, fine. Turns, nah, but never mind about that. And then fighting for a title in his hometown. Retained. This is astonishing.
They must have forgot.
Was it just me that didn't realise that he was from here? Because otherwise, why would they have turned him on a kickoff show last night instead of promoted him in a meaningful fashion at the Survivor Series? I didn't realise he was a New York guy, because I'm watching the kickoff thinking, I don't give a shit about him in this building.
Yeah, it was weird.
But so many people on the show just aren't over. Why do you buy a ticket? to see Randy Orton? What's wrong with you?
Based on his record, is the only guaranteed appearance, isn't
it? Yeah.
He'll definitely be there.
So we got Damian Priest versus Sami Zayn. Zayn hit an exploder into the barricade, takes us to the break. When we come back, Priest's fighting back, but Zayn hits a blue thunderbomb for a near fall, also hits a sunset flip powerbomb for a near fall, and schoolboys as Priest goes for the reckoning, gets another two count off that. Priest hits a spinning heel kick, Zayn dodges to the outside and then hangs Priest up on the ropes, and as he's laying there recovering, Sami Zayn grabs the title, puts it over his shoulder, says, this is what you're going to be witnessing in just a few minutes' time, taunts Priest, and that's when Michael Sidgwick, the Damian side, comes out, and he does that face that he does. He fires up, hits a chokeslam, hits the reckoning. 1, 2, 3. Damian Priest retains the US title.
It's hard to do this podcast. There are literally no more words to talk about how rubbish this is. Genuinely having a bit of an existential crisis at the minute. It makes it so much harder when you immediately identify that a conversation has taken place in a creative meeting and you can see that, like, adapted on screen. At some point over the past 2-3 weeks, they went, you're boring, and pointed the finger at Damian Priest and went, we need you to be less boring. We need to give you something.
A thing.
And his thing is Damian Priest.
T-Bar's brought it out of him.
He's got,
what, I don't know if I've
split maybe, personality disorder now.
Yeah, maybe.
Why?
Maybe I've missed this on recent episodes of Raw, but that new entrance, which has now got like white light on one side and then fire, and his name has got, saying again, flaming text on one side.
Damian Priest.
Is that a new thing? Like, I literally said this on the Survivor Series stream. Is this a man whose first name and surname can't coexist?
Once gone to SmackDown. Yeah, it's not going to kill him because nothing will. He is impervious to WWE.
Is he? Because he's not that over.
He's not over, but over doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
They ran an entire company with fake noise for a whole year. They'll continue to do it. They're piping in noise on live crowd shows now.
I guess I'm not watching them thinking, oh, Christ, what they've done with Damian Priest. I don't think that. That's as high as it gets.
Mm. Yeah, he's just not bodged. He doesn't seem like they can bodge him.
That's only trying.
I feel nothing for him.
Nothing for anything, man.
Austin Theory cut a promo, talked about becoming the youngest WWE champion in history, said Big E's a big loser. He said he's the future is now. And then we got the main event. Austin Theory versus Big E. Rollins came out to watch the match from ringside. He's had a costume change and everything. Kevin Owens also enters to his music to throw Big E off as he's getting some early offense in.
Rollins took the whole thing pretty well, didn't he?
Yeah, fair play to him.
Pretend to look around, see if there's anybody else there. I quite like that, like, all things considered.
Owens' entrance allowed
Theory. He's normally got a horrendous pattern. I don't mean that in terms of an attack. I just mean the fact that his crack is awful normally, and I thought, he doesn't normally have one of them in him.
Owens' entrance allowed Austin Theory to hit a neck breaker, but only got a one count off that. Owens and Rollins are arguing as we go to a break as to why both of them are out there. As we come back, Theory is on offense. Big E fights back, though, 3 belly-to-belly suplexes and a splash. But then Theory reverses, drop toe hold on Big E on the buckle, hitting a drop kick as well. Do like that drop kick that Austin Theory hits. Gets a two count, but Big E follows up with an STO and shouts at Rollins and Owens before they head back towards the ring. As E's getting back in, the referee's helping with Austin Theory, and Rollins attacks Big E. That allows Theory to hit a neck breaker and get a near fall off that. But in the midst of all this, Owens furious that Rollins has got involved. Obviously, Rollins wants Theory to win because he's the number one contender, et cetera, et cetera. He throws Rollins into the ring. Rollins is furious with that. They square up to each other. This distracts Austin Theory. And as he turns back around, Big E has recovered from the attack. He hits the big ending. 1, 2, 3. Post-match, Big E comes out and George acts with everyone. And he attacks Rollins. Owens legs it, so Big E just hits Rollins with a big ending and stands tall as the show goes off the air, Michael Sidgwick.
Oh, my God. Egg. Distraction finish. of course it is. Hey, there's no words. I've got no words left for this. The only words I do have left are, like, forget the Austin Theory thing. Forget the fact that the hook to get fans to watch this show was just to transition back into this triple threat program that is brewing. I've got no thoughts on the match. It was fine, but like, main eventing a TV show used to mean something in a way that this kind of thing just doesn't matter. I think it reflects how small and irrelevant all of this feels when you can just get Austin Theory in the mix and it's like, no one bats an eye. Doesn't feel like a young guy getting a shot at anything remotely worthy. It just feels like X wrestler is having a match with Y wrestler and Z and W are having it. It's nothing to me. It looks like nothing. There's no tier of star power, no rub I expect Theory will get from this. He's been on main roster telly about 8 times. I look at him, I think he's just indistinguishable to the other person he's in the ring with. It's like, no one's a star. No one matters. Could be anyone doing anything. They are so lucky they've been in business. And they've cultivated a genuinely strong base of lunatics who will defend and watch it to the death. The stars are on the other channel. The noise is on the other channel. The conversation's on the other channel. This is just anyone with the WWE banner on that digital ticker tape that they have in arenas these days. This triple threat match is as small time, sorry, Hamflet, as Diesel and Mabel doing the Civic Centers in 95. Yeah. It's like, it's so small.
It was very November, December WWE this. But that calls back to a time when they were at least focused on other people. What I mean by that is this would typically be the time of year that you would need to slot somebody in for a December match. Or like, you can go back through the years and find, like, it's celebrated for reasons that I understand. But remember the CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Zack Ryder moment. And that was very December. Big E teaming with John Cena and CM Punk. And being like, this is Big E's time. And it wouldn't come for another, 8 years or something like that. The Miz and Jerry Lawler having a Raw main event for the WWE title because they just can. It's that time of year. This was all of that. But the difference with those examples and this is that there was still kind of a loose order to how WWE did business. And yes, they might as well be just trying people out at this time of year when you can, which was the case with Austin Theory here. But you're trying him out and yet trying to present the other guys as the top stars. To Sidgwick's point, none of them felt any further above Austin Theory, and he's the guy getting the obvious tryout. They want to see what he looks and feels like in a main event. Doesn't feel any different to Owens, Seth, or Big E. And there's the guy. They're the guys that have been at this for absolutely ages. The payoff feels meaningless. Owens is leaving, probably. Seth Rollins is nowhere near the guy that we might have thought might have had a swing at Roman Reigns when he was over on SmackDown. Big E, love him. This isn't taken because they're not booking him with any kind of commitment. He should have beaten Roman Reigns at the Survivor Series. He would have felt 20 times bigger on this Raw, and he didn't, so he is where he is. Impossible to feel much for any of it, I thought. Like, think about even when, this is like 2019, I'm not holding up 2019 as a standard or anything, but at this time of year, exactly, in fact, the Raw after Survivor Series, that was when Seth Rollins set up Bras, wasn't it? Remember he enlisted the Authors of Pain for the first time. Austin Theory, by the way, he was like a sideways member of Bras. Like, which we've now just been told to forget. Forget that ever happened.
I haven't heard that word in years.
He went back to NXT, you know, all that sort of stuff. This could have been that if WWE was even as competent as the useless November 2019, and it's not. Like, that scanders. Oh, Christ, they're going to try and elevate the Authors of Pain. Didn't see this coming, but we'll give it a go. This didn't feel anything like that at all. This was not a main event that felt like it was elevating anybody. It was wheel spinning, as they do all of the rest of the time, save for, 2 weeks in April? Not great.
Well, let us know your thoughts on Monday Night Raw on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at
Sidgwick. Buy my goddamn book about a good wrestling promotion at WhatCulture.BigCartel.com. Becoming All Elite, the Rise of AEW. It's great.
It is very good. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. For daily wrestling podcasts, we'll also be back later on today for the NXT 2.0 preview. But for now, this has been the Raw Review. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Egg!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.